Chinwag with Sister Bang Bang. Welcome along to Chinwag with yours truly, Sister Bang Bang, the Manchester Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Stand by for lots of malicious gossip, wicked chit-chat,
and nothing but the whole truth.
No way.
It's Chinwag with Sister Bang Bang.
What's more?
Today's show contains words of wisdom, sublime words, and rude words too. So if you're of a nervous disposition, fly away, my pretty. If, however, you're made of sterner stuff, then settle back for another fabulous edition of...
Well, hello, kids. Today is an auspicious occasion for more than one reason. Oh, yes, indeedy, as Bette Midler is wont to utter... The first reason is that I have had Mr. Leather UK in bed with me. Such debauchery. Mr. Joe King granted me a royal audience, and afterwards, in the secrecy of the royal closet, he asked me to be his queen consort for the year. Of course I said yes. More of that news coming soon. But back to the beginning of this little chinwag, and you know what I began by asking him, don't you? Yes. Who the hell are you?
Well, thanks for having me. My name's Joe King, and I'm Mr. Leather UK. 2016.
That's important to get the date in, isn't
Absolutely
it?
Absolutely important
yes.
to get the date.
A little still excited?
I'm really excited, really excited. I was slightly overwhelmed when I first won it, but now I'm just really, really pissing my pants to get on with it. So I'm dead excited, yeah.
You're not actually in your leathers today, are you?
No, I'm not in my leathers today. I'm wearing a little bit of leather, a little splash of leather just on the wrist, because I've been doing lots of practical stuff, been shifting boxes around and things this morning before I came to meet you, so... You know, I needed to kind of...
Shifting boxes around, so yeah. Are you trying to make out your butch then?
Yeah, I'm really butch. Can you not tell? I don't normally wear this tiara. It's only because I won the competition.
Now, look, I've got to ask you. Your name is King, Joe King.
Yeah.
Were your parents having a joke when they christened you?
You tell me. You tell me. I mean, they do take the piss quite royally anyway, my parents, so, you know... I just think they thought I just needed something quite regal. They obviously knew I was going to be entering this competition, you see, you know, in 1973 when I kind of came to the world. So they obviously thought, yeah, dark hair, definitely looks like a leather man. We need a name that's going to win. And you know, obviously it worked, so...
You do live in a bit of a world of fantasy there, darling, don't you?
Yeah, completely.
Like when you were born with dark hair, they thought he's going to be a leather queen.
King, bitch. Yeah. Leather King.
Oh, I'm going to have trouble King. With you the next hour, aren't I?
Yeah.
Now, look, okay, let's go back a little bit. Back in time. Whoosh, back in time.
Okay.
And
I've got terrible memory, so don't ask me any memory questions, because I've got a shit memory.
What's pi?
Well, 3.14 black. I don't know, I only know it's a 0.4.
So you didn't do too badly.
Do you mean the food variety pie?
Could be, yeah. I haven't quite packaged myself. Now, where were you first born? Where were you born? Where were you born?
First born.
Second born.
I was first born in Bradford.
That would explain a bit of the accent here.
Yeah. So I've lived around Yorkshire all my life, you know, spent a lot of time in London, but always come back to Yorkshire, you know, for some reason.
Why have you sort of moved around a lot? Are you a slag or something?
Yeah, a great big slag. Right. Yeah, great big slag. I do like to travel around, you know. I like to see new stuff, do new stuff, meet new people.
Do new people.
Smell new people. Yeah, no, I do. I like to explore, and I like to see what's out there if I can.
You know. Okay, so Bradford, only a few years ago. What was life like growing up for you then?
Well, I actually grew up in a place called Keighley.
Keighley,
gateway to Dale. The Dales, apparently, you know, it's an absolute nightmare of a place. Well, it was when I grew up, and I was literally the only gay in the town, and it was a really, really hard time for me growing up. But then I hit puberty at about 14 and suddenly became this big, hairy man and went off to London, and used to go down to London every weekend and come back to school in the week.
No.
Yeah, I really did.
Well, you actually went to the gay clubs in London.
Yeah, I used to go out and rock out all night. I once slept on the steps of Piccadilly Circus tube station, and then had to wait for the megabus back, what was the equivalent of the megabus, the next morning, and I went to school. So I used to do that pretty much every week. And all my mates were a lot older than me, so they all kind of came down to London. And so I used to just come and hang with them and stay with them, and, you know, but...
So how old were you at this point?
About 14, 15. Yeah, yeah. But I looked a lot older. I've always been a big, hairy beast, you see, so...
You're not rotund or, you know, you're not bearish, are you? You're more sort of... Was it otter bear
more
or
ottery,
wolfie?
Yeah, I think wolfie ottery is kind of the best way to describe me, yeah. I'm getting a bit round around the edges now, I'm getting older, but, you know. Yeah.
Oh, aren't we all, though?
Oh, you are, isn't it? It's a pain in the arse, isn't it?
It's a killer, isn't it? Well, after this interview, I'll show you a few exercises to get the weight off.
Oh, will you really? Yeah. Oh,
that's
really
it's all right, really don't. It's okay, no worries.
Yeah, that's really kind of you, yeah, yeah.
Where were you going in London? What sort of clubs were you going to at 14?
I used to go to... There's a club called Garden Club in Covent Garden. I used to go down there a lot. And I used to go out a lot round Camden, places like that. I can't really remember any specific clubs. It's all a bit of a blur, to be fair.
All a haze.
Yeah, a bit of a blur, but... in fact, actually, most of everything between about 1988 to about 2005 is a bit of a blur, to be fair.
Well, that's Class A drugs for you there, love, isn't it?
I'm clean living boy nowadays, so actually, you'd kind of, you know, I can remember everything till about, you know, 2005. When it was my second birth, I think, you know.
Oh, yes, I was right.
You were right. Yeah. You could sense it, I could tell.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So, what sort of clubs were these? I'm trying to find out whether they were more fetishy clubs or just
club
clubs.
No, just clubs. I mean, you know, at the time, I didn't have any fetish gear. And because I'd kind of come out of an adolescence which was really quite oppressed, because Keighley wasn't exactly a kind of rocking gay scene. It was really hard to be gay in Keighley in the sort of late 80s when I was, you know, when I was a lad. So, you know, I was kind of tortured mercilessly by the general population for years and years and years on end. And so just getting away from all of that and getting to London and kind of rocking out to brilliant music with loads of men was just the best thing I'd ever experienced in my entire life. So the fetish thing kind of didn't really appear on my radar really till a lot later. And then it was, you know, a good few years before I could really sort of act on it or afford to act on it really, or realise that there was a real scene out there before I really did anything about it. So for a long time, it was just the sheer novelty of being out with men, dancing with men, touching men. Yeah.
Why go all the way to London, though? I mean, Manchester is a lot closer, and that's always had a good gay scene.
It was because I got into it because my mate, Julia, it was my best mate at the time, she got a job as a nanny for someone famous in London, so I thought, brilliant. So I used to go down there all the time, but I was never allowed in the house because she wasn't allowed to have male callers, you know. Even though I kind of, you know...
You're screaming queen.
Yeah, exactly, you know, it's just not a threat in any way, shape or form. So I used to wait for her outside for her to finish her day, and then we'd just go off and, you know...
Right.
But then she'd abandon me and I'd go out with the boys.
Well, you've got to do something, haven't you, when you're far away from home?
Yeah, completely, you know. So, yeah, I was in some right scrapes. I hope my mum's never going to listen to this, but, you know, I got into some right scrapes and... You know, I remember being in this really, really kind of dodgy flat in this party and thinking, what's wrong with everybody? You know, they're all like really boring and like the music was really quiet and all the lights were on. And I'm thinking, what is wrong? Nobody's talking and everybody's kind of crawling around on their hands and knees. Obviously, now I'm a bit older, I recognise, you know, what was actually going on there. But at the time, I thought I'd kind of fallen into some kind of parallel universe of madness.
And that was what lasted about 5 minutes, and you thought, oh, right, well,
yeah,
if you can't beat it.
Well, yeah, you know, wedding room, you know, beach sleeping upstairs.
So did you move out to Bradford permanently at any point then? Or Keighley?
Keighley, no. Well, I moved to Bradford because I went to college in Bradford.
Right.
And to do design and arty stuff. And And I just did lots of house shares. So I shared a house for the first 2 years with a pair of drug dealers. And they were absolutely, completely brilliant. And lost touch.
I bet they were, love. Yeah, I bet they were.
I mean, I once came home from college one day and they'd burnt all the floorboards in half of the living room because all the electric and the gas had been cut off. And it was freezing because it was winter time. So they'd pulled up the floorboards from one side of the room and they were burning them in the hall where the gas fire used to be. Yeah, so it's pretty full on time. Very, very, very experimental time, actually.
You're painting this picture that you're sort of a bit bohemian. You like to sort of break out of the norm, even as a young guy.
Oh, yeah, completely. Yeah, yeah.
Why was that? Well, it was home life making you, pushing you away, or was your home life like that anyway?
My home life has always been pretty bonkers. You know, my parents are artists, and always been a bit out there, really. So I always had a lot of freedom to sort of be me, because they were too sort of busy doing their own thing anyway, really. And I've always seen like a different side of life naturally anyway. I've never really been drawn to the mainstream stuff, so I think just naturally I gravitate to the fringes. I like crazy people, I like different people, I like, you know, different experiences. I like to sort of have a little peek under the carpet and see if the mucky bitch has like swept it all underneath, or you know, I just like to, you know, explore.
Is that kind of another reason why you love the sisters so much? Because we are a little different.
I just love the sisters because they're just completely brilliant and potty. I love the pottiness and the positivity that they bring. I like positive energy. You know, I don't like people who are miserable shit, so I've got bad attitudes. I really can't deal with that.
Oh, there's a few sisters like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, there's a few Leathermen like that, you know, bad attitudes, which is just not, you know, just don't cut it for me. You don't need to, it's one, you know, you can be a big alpha top, you know, you can be still be a decent person, yeah, you know, but there's a bit of a crossover sometimes.
No, and I can understand that. It's sort of, I suppose the alpha male is kind of perceived by some as being somebody who is distant, who's only into like heavy S&M trips and sub-dom sort of stuff, isn't it? When actually, who has the power at the end of the day, really?
Well, exactly, because, you know, at the end of the day, the sub actually has a lot of control, because the sub is the one actually maintaining this fantasy, really, to be fair, because as soon as the sub goes, no, that's it, I'm not interested. The whole thing evaporates in a puff of smoke, in a puff. So, you know, actually, it is it should be quite a balanced relationship. You know, it's the dynamic, you know, is a very particular way, but actually on balance, there's still equal amount of control, you know.
I suppose it's like it is that balance, isn't it? If I'm doing the washing up during the day, then I expect another balance in the evening.
Yeah, exactly.
If I'm making the pizza, then, you know, who's going to make me, like?
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So what drew you into putting on your first piece of leather? Can you remember that far back?
I can remember that far back. I'd just come out of a really, really... Well, actually, the first time I ever wore leather was... I used to go to a club on a regular basis called Speed Queen in Leeds. I don't know whether you've ever known it. Yeah. That was my favourite haunt for a long time. Pretty much all the 90s, which is obviously why I've got no memory of the 90s, really. It's just a bit of a blur. But Speed Queen was absolutely brilliant, and you used to kind of really dress up for Speed Queen, and you did it, you know, we used to make loads of effort for it, and I've always really wanted to kind of do leather. And I can't remember what the theme was for the Speed Queen, but it was something which meant I could wear leather, and I didn't have any leather. And one of my mates in our little group said, oh, I know these two old queens who are into leather. You know, I bet they'll lend you it. So, of course, they thought it was absolutely brilliant. Some little, you know, 30-year-old club thing turning up at their house trying all the gear on while they just sat on their beds and watched, you know. Right. They lent me loads of stuff and kitted me out from top to bottom. And I just thought, this is it. I want this. I want it. I want to do this. This is it. And it just went on, fit me really well, felt really good, loved the smell, loved the feel, loved the way it feels in my body. I'm getting horny now thinking about it.
Put my hands on that.
Yeah, hey, you what? You don't...
Or maybe one hand.
Well, you know, come on, you're supposed to be able to multitask, aren't you, your sisters? Jesus.
Well, I'll put something else. I don't to stop it. Oh, you are naughty, you are.
Yeah, I am. I'm sorry. But, yeah, so that was it. It really got me going. And then I realised the cost of getting into leather was just absolutely astronomical. I mean, not a kind of personal cost. I mean, the actual financial cost.
Well, it is if you want to get the finer quality, isn't it?
Well, it's the problem is that, you know, you can buy stuff from eBay and you can, you know, and well, there was no such thing as eBay then, but, you know, you can buy it... secondhand and stuff like that, but it never fits you right. And I like tight leather, you know. I like my leather tight.
I'm going to ask for proof later. Just letting you know.
Okay. So I do like my leather tight. I like the creakiness and groaniness of it, you see. And so I realised, actually, to get leather like that, you needed to buy, you know, new and, you know, pretty much bespoke stuff. So I started off with a harness, which was just like a mega turn on. I just totally loved it. And, you know, got my partner at the time into it. And, you know, and he kind of was into it a bit, but kind of didn't really get it because it made me like a complete beast when I kind of wore it. Because I just went, you know, I love this, amazing, you know, libido of a 30-year-old, you know.
Yeah.
And then just slowly and surely I've started building it up over the years. And then my mega big break came through about 6 years ago when I came into a lot of money. Well, not a lot of money, but a nice, decent sum of money, which was just nice. And I thought, brilliant, what am I going to do with this? I thought, I'm going to go straight to Amsterdam. So I went straight to Amsterdam and just kitted myself out in brand new leather from head to toe. And it was just like one of the best weekends I've ever had. And it was the horniest, most amazing thing. And the gear I've got now fits me really well, and I think. And, you know, I'm completely in love with it, you know. And there's always room for more. There's always, you know, I want a new shirt now because I've kind of bulked up a little bit. And if I kind of laugh, my shirt pops open and my tits come out, you know, which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
No, it's not.
But, you know, if you're kind of being, you know, kind of, you know, an alpha leather man, the last thing you want is a kind of wardrobe malfunction. So that's my next thing.
Doing a bit of a Janet Jackson. You're listening to Tune Wag with Sister Bang Bang here. And my rather sweaty guest today is Joe King, who is, let's get this right, Mr. UK Leather 2016.
Mr. Leather UK 2016.
Put me in my place.
Mm-hmm. Hey, yes, you! You want to find out more about the Manchester Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, don't you? The history, how to join us, and hundreds of hints and tips for a good night out. Well, not hundreds, but certainly quite a few. So, kids, stop obsessing about Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram for one moment and get on over to www.themanchestersisters.org to find out about me and the other fabulous sisters. It's as simple as that. www.themanchestersisters.org. Mwah. You're listening to Sister Bang Bang's Chin Wag.
Yes, you're listening to Chin Wag with myself, Sister Bang Bang. And Joe King sat here making me perspire profusely. And I don't mind that in the slightest.
Well, you can touch my sash later if you want. I brought it for you to have a look at if you like. In fact, you can have a sniff of my sash if you like.
Do you know, in all my years, I've never actually been asked to do that.
What, not never sniff never. Sniff a sash,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's all puzzled up in that bag there.
Yeah, yeah, do you want to have a look? Do you want to have a sniff?
Actually, yeah, let's have a... I know, this is radio, so it's going to be exciting. Well, we're going to have to describe this.
But look at this, everyone. I've got my hat in there as well, because I keep my cap separately, so it doesn't get damaged.
Right, okay. So it's in
It's in a Mr. B...
It's not like, you know, shoe bag sort of thing, isn't it?
And this is it. Oh, there's some scrummies, dried cranberries and raisins in there.
Is that, has to be part of being Mr. Leather.
Oh, it's got to do with the fact I've got to stand up in front of 2,000 men in a month's time and do a speech in my jockstrap and boots, so I can't eat anything, even remotely fun. I'm just eating kind of bits and pieces.
They're quite fun. They've got cheeky faces on the packet. Great alternative to sweets. Anyway, what's this?
So this is the actual sash that gets passed on from winner to winner.
So it's really thick leather, isn't it?
Thick leather. It's really good quality leather, that.
And it's about, what, 7 inches wide?
Yeah, probably about 20 centimetres, 25 centimetres if you're metric like me.
If you're European. Yeah. And the length of it is, well, it's huge, that.
Well, it is huge. It wraps right over your shoulder and then clips onto the side. And it fits really beautifully, actually, when it's on. Which happened to mobble it for you?
Yeah, go on then, yes. Like you don't really want to do it.
Well,
do
if
you?
I must, I'll do it for you.
So he stood up, he's putting it over his shoulder now, he's clipping round to the other side of his waist.
And conveniently, it just press-studs together like that, so you can whip it on and off in a panic.
In a hurry.
In a hurry, if necessary.
Now, have you come all over slightly different?
I've come all regal now, you see. See what I'm like now.
It's lovely, yeah.
Isn't it good? It fits really well, doesn't it?
Yeah. I love the flare to the left-hand side over the hip. I think a little bit of padding under there and the waist will be accepted. Oh, what are we doing here?
But isn't it brilliant, you know? And I'm never going to give it back. I'm going to keep it forever. My mates have been laughing because they said I've turned into Sashzilla.
Sashzilla?
Sashzilla.
Do you have to give it back?
You do, unfortunately, yeah. I mean, if you like to have a sniff...
It's still got it there, hasn't it? It's also got
a kind of patina of all the winners, you know, sweat going back, you know, years and years and years.
Because it doesn't look that old. How old is this? I'm not sure how old this is.
But it is obviously well cared for, because, you know, the winners wear it for a year and then hand it on to the next one. And it goes all around the world and goes wherever you go. It goes with you. You wear it on your nights out and... You know.
What happens if you lose it?
Oh my God, imagine. It's like a soft cold sweatshirt where I keep it over. Occasionally I kind of go in and just check it's still there. And it is, and everything's fine.
Can't you just check it? You already got it last week.
Oh no, but it's been every day. I'll kind of wear it every day as well. Wear it in the house, doing washing up, you know. Go to the supermarket, you know, I'll get it on. I get really stroppy, you know. Do you know who I am?
Oh, you go talk to nightclub doors. Don't you realise who I am? Yeah. Right, now... We're getting into knowing more about you. As we always do in our little chin wag, we play Bang Bang's Quick Six. It's really easy. I'm going to give you six quick questions.
Okay.
And they're just alternatives.
Okay.
You've got to tell me which one. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Right.
Are you receiving us, sir? Are you receiving us, sir?
Malicious gossip, wicked chit-chat, and nothing but the whole truth. It's Chinwag with Sister Bang Bang. Goodbye.
Joy Bye. Hi friends, it's Sister Indica, your homegirl for life. Not only am I gorgeous, not only am I a sister of perpetual indulgence, but I'm also host of the podcast Joy Bomb. I rant and rave about pop culture, politics, music, TV, and more. I interview all sorts of interesting people and play underground music you probably don't know but should. So what's stopping you? Subscribe on iTunes.
Joy Bomb.
If it's good enough for Sister Bang Bang, it's good enough for you.
Question one on Bang Bang's Quick Six: tea or coffee?
Coffee for me, please. Yeah, I. In fact, actually, I gave coffee up a little while ago, just after Christmas, because I was having really, really bad anxiety attacks, and I was thinking, what's up with me? You know, this is really, really unlike me. This is really weird. And I was getting really anxious all the time, and then I thought, you know, maybe it's the amount of coffee I'm drinking. And I was actually getting through like two bags of fresh coffee like every week. Right. And I was drinking pints of kind of espresso strength coffee. So I gave it up for a bit and went on to boring tea, but I'm back on it again now. But not to that degree.
Right. You know. It does make you buzz a bit though, doesn't it?
I do quite like a caffeine buzz, I must say. I'm quite into it. You know, I really do quite like that.
You know, there's supposedly more caffeine in ordinary tea than there is in ordinary coffee.
Is there? I thought in that by volume or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, there's some scientific reason. Yeah.
I've got one of those little whoosh machines. You put the capsules in.
Oh, yeah. We've got one of those, actually. I never use that. I end up chucking loads of fresh coffee into a cafetiere and giving it a right good mash.
Right.
And then it's like tar.
Yeah.
And then I'm quite happy with that.
I like the capsules because they're just so easy. And when you've got a busy convent kitchen to look after and all the sisters, you know, you haven't got time to do mashed coffee.
And I can imagine they nag. Do they nag?
Well, I just ignore them now. Yeah. Now I'm a full sister.
Yeah, they can look after themselves.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get a guard in to do it.
Do you have like a pecking order? Do you have like a kind of...
No, we don't have a mother superior. Well, we say we don't. Mother superior disappeared. she has had a room in the convent, and she locked a door one day, and we've never been able to get in, and we've never seen her since, and that was 17 years ago.
I just brick up over the doorway and plaster over it and forget about her.
Yeah. See, we don't. I mean, don't tell this to anybody, but we don't tend to tell anybody about that because we still get the checks coming through. So, between you and me, that, all right?
Fine, yeah.
You, me,
yeah,
and your ball weight.
Yeah.
Right, question two in Bang Bang's Quick Six. Will it be vegetables or meat?
Oh, that's a really difficult question.
Why?
I'm a really fussy eater. I really watch everything I eat. I'm really pathetic over my food. And so I eat tons and tons and tons of veg, but I do like a bit of meat, I must say. But If I had to give meat up, I could do quite easily, actually. Can I fish, though, still?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there you go. Vegetables and fish, see, so that's cool, I'll do that. So vegetables.
Pescatarian.
Yeah, I could do that, yeah.
I'm quite partial to meat and to veg myself.
Yeah, well, I am, I must say. I am, you know, any old meat, I'm quite into it.
Lashings of gravy.
Yeah. Or bread sauce, or similar.
Do you know, my mum used to make bread sauce. You know, it was just raw. It was. I could just sit with the pan in front of me and just ladle it into my novitiate mouth.
Or just dribble it all over your face.
Oh, God, yeah. I used to down my front, in my legs.
I wondered what you were up to the other week when I saw you out.
I'm just reliving my childhood again, with the bread sauce.
Bread sauce, yeah. I wondered where it was. I thought, dirty bitch.
Lovely stuff. But people are probably saying, what's bread sauce? It's sauce made out of bread.
Well, yeah.
Well,
it
I
is.
Think so. Well, is it?
I don't know where it is, actually.
Now, moving swiftly onwards, it's Bang Bang's Quick Six. There's six quick questions and six long answers to go with it. Number three, bitch or butch?
Butch. Absolutely, totally. I can't be doing my bitchiness at all. Don't get me wrong, I do like a laugh, but I can't stand bitchiness. I hate bad attitudes and bitchiness and cattiness. I can't bear it. Really?
What are you doing talking to me then?
You're a sweetheart. You know, you might be a bit of a bitch, but you're still a sweetheart.
I love the way you had to think about that just for a microsecond.
Yeah, I just had to make sure you kind of didn't fall into the complete bitch category, which you don't. No, but I can't bear bitchiness. Can't stand it. I think it's totally unnecessary. I think there's enough crap going on in the world, and we have to put up with enough shit from everywhere. You don't need to generate negativity and bad vibes. It's just not necessary, and that's one of my big bugbears, I think, with the gay scene in general. It can be really nasty, and there's no need for it, you know.
There's a lot of problems with, like, internalised homophobia, isn't there?
Exactly.
People just having a crack at each other just for the sake of it.
You know, it's like, you know, young ones bitching about old ones, and thin ones bitching about fat ones, you know, butch ones bitching about camp ones. It's just like, oh, come on, you know. I mean, that's one thing I really love about the fetish scene, you know. On the whole, it's really, really welcoming and really open, and people tend to be a lot less judgmental. You know, that's one of the big things for me winning Mr. Leather UK is the pride I feel for being able to represent a community which has got those kinds of values. So, you know, from top to bottom, people do. Really genuinely live by those rules, you know, of being open and friendly and honest to each other, and I think that's a really, really important thing. So it makes me dead proud to be part of that. So definitely butch, no bitchiness. Thank you very much.
No, I totally agree with you there. I have very similar feelings towards our sisterhood, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, and I've never felt so close to a community than I have done. And I mean, leather community as well, but certainly the sisterhood community is one of, you know, great supportiveness, and not just within. Mm. That's the main aim of the sisters, and one of the main aims is, you know, you support people outside that as well.
Completely. I mean, you know, with my home group, Manchester Leathermen. You know, I know for a fact that if I was to put a call out to them and say, I'm having this disaster, or I'm having this problem, or they'd be there like a shot. You know, they're absolutely brilliant people, you know. And again, you know, with the MSC London, they're exactly the same. I was fortunate enough to be guest of honour at their annual dinner after I won the competition. And it was the first time I'd met a lot of them, and I was a little bit sort of... You know, I knew the guys in Manchester, I knew how they rolled. I thought, well, you know, is that a northern thing? But actually, the guys in London are just as nice and just as open and just as friendly and just as kind and, you know, and non-judgy. You know, you can be into anything and nobody really cares about that. You actually care about what you bring to the community and the role you sort of are in that community, you know. It's
If only there was a few more people in the world like us, eh?
Oh, I know, because we're so perfect, especially me.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, I am the king of all things.
Right, so that was question three in Bang Bang's Quick Six. Moving on to question four now.
Chinwag with Sister Bang Bang.
Sister Bang Bang's Quick Six.
Is it money or is it fame for you?
Ooh, God, that's a weird question. I need to think about this because I'm not interested in fame and I'm not really interested in money either. So
you've got a level of fame though with the competition win.
Yeah, I have. And I suppose I'd have to choose that really because I've got an opportunity now to do some positive stuff and to make be a positive voice. I think with the leather community generally, well, I just think generally with the leather community, it's got a lot of opportunity and a lot of scope to do some positive stuff in the world. So if I've got an ability to be able to influence that now because of what I've done and because I've won this title, then I'll choose fame if that's what it takes. You know, it sounds like a real cliche, but I really want to, you know, give something back to everyone, you know, because they've really supported me over this last few years. They've been really great and you know, there's a lot we can do. We can send some of that energy outward and do some positive stuff. So, definitely, I'm not interested in money. I'd like a bit more. Yeah. And I'm actually doing a fundraiser soon. So, dig deep, boys.
Well, we'll come and help you out on that if you like. That's what we're good at, rattling buckets.
Well, that'll be fantastic because I need to gather a travel fund together. So that's going to be my next thing. So, I'm going to shamelessly sell merchandise. I'll have sex with whoever. You know, I just need the cash coming in.
So you don't give a damn, really. It's just you're going to go regardless. Certainly, you know, just leaping back to like the role of celebrity, the fame thing, you know, you can turn it on its head, can't you? People don't just have to walk around, swan around saying, who do you think I am? You can use celebrity for a lot of great things. You make things happen.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm interested in. You know, it's you know, I always said all along, it's like my main aim is to make the leather community better and help as much as possible, you know, for us to be able to have a bigger presence in the world and do better in the world. You know, there's a lot of fights going on across the world. You've got, you know, terrible abuses of gay rights in Russia, for example, you know, and all right, we might not go over there and do a big leather pride in the middle of Russia, but actually, you know, the leather men and women across the world, you know, it's one group of people across the world, and actually if we join together there's a real opportunity to kind of exert some influence and some pressure, even if that's just to let the people in, you know, the lads and girls in Russia know that we're thinking about them and that there is a life beyond it and it's okay to be gay and it's okay to be in a fetish or leather or rubber or whatever, you know. And that's the kind of thing we should be doing. We should be really focusing on that kind of thing. So, well, that's what I think anyway.
Let's be activists, eh?
Let's be activists. Come on, lads. Yeah,
absolutely. So that was number four in Bang Bang's Quick Six. To number five now, mum or dad?
Mum. Mum, completely. My dad's a complete prick. Yeah, and I've not seen him for 10 years. I've no interest in seeing him. He's a selfish, mean-spirited bastard.
Now, sit on the wall now, love.
Oh, well, yeah, sorry, I do that too much, yeah. No, definitely my mum. She's really supportive, she's really kind. Yeah, she's a brilliant person, so definitely my mum.
What was the reaction when she found out you won this new title?
Well, I thought, am I going to tell her this? I'm into leather. It's like coming out again, it's really weird. And so I was coming back from London on the train. I thought, well, you know, and she will find out by hook or by crook, it'll come back. So I'm going to have to just tell her. So so I texted her and I said, well, I've got something to tell you, Mum. You know, don't be shocked, but I've entered this competition and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, I'm part of Manchester Leather Men and, you know... And she just went, oh, my God, that's brilliant. I'm so excited. And that was it. She just sent me this kind of thing back. And she was, like, totally thrilled and told my brother straight away. And he was, like, you know, getting back in touch with me, going, oh, even I fancy you.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it was, you know, it was great. So it was fine.
Has she seen the photos yet?
No, I said, you probably don't want to be Googling it, really, Mum. Unless, you know... Sure, no, I won't, love. I won't.
Oh, you're sweet, though. You're protecting your mum. Yeah. Last question now. Bang, bang, squeak, six. The last question, glitter or tweed?
Glitter. Definitely glitter. I mean, you know, I might be a big Butch leather man. but I am partial to a bit of sparkle. You know, I do like a bit of glitter, I must say. I think anything that's fun, anything that's got positive energy around it, and, you know, and glitter tends to be associated with people, places and things that are fun and pleasant and, you know, about coming together, you know. So I kind of associate glitter with all that kind of stuff.
You can never have enough glitter.
No, exactly. Mm. Anything glittery and I'm drawn to it, it's terrible.
Oh, that's why you like the sisters then, anyway.
It really is, yeah, you know, it really is. I just love a bit of glitter.
It's incredible because, as you notice now, I've got my glitter lipstick on.
It's quite amazing. You've left it all over me as well. You're going to have to get that off.
No, that's not even from the lipstick because, you see, the lipstick is glued on. And it's remarkable how many people say, oh, give us a kiss, Sister Bang Bang, give us a kiss, because they want, like, glitter lip prints on. And because it's not going to come off, you know. You should see when back at the convent, 3 o'clock in the morning, with a trowel trying to get this stuff off.
What about your other lips? Are they just as glittery?
Stick around and you'll find out. This is Chinwag with Sister Bing Bang Bang and a very cheeky joking.
Instagram. Yes, your sister is on Instagram, and it's the only way to see all my wonderful, gorgeous photos. And some of them are even suitable for your mother to see, but not many. So, prod your finger over to Instagram and find me, Sister Bang Bang Ladesh. You know you want to. Chinwag.
Yes, Chinwag with Sister Bang Bang and my lovely, handsome guest today. You can see the breathiness in my voice there, can't you? Little beads of sweat dribbling under my wimple. It is Joe King, who is Mr. Leather UK 2016.
Woo! Yep, that's me.
Now, before you started on this rocky road to becoming a bit of a superstar... What's the sort of thing that you... What's you at home and working? And what do you do?
Well, I live at home with my boyfriend of 10 years. We have...
You've got a boyfriend?
I have got a boyfriend.
Right, thanks for joining us. That was lovely. I don't think we're going to use this interview. Is that okay? Yeah. Still have to do it? Okay, if you must. Yeah, go on then. Tell us more.
About my boyfriend. Yeah, so I live with my boyfriend 10 years. He's a really sweet, really kind, really beautiful man. He's completely not into leather. He's not interested at all. He just rolls his eyes and just goes, oh, whatever. He lets me get on with it. We've got two cats and a dog. And we live in the countryside next to a stream. And we spend a lot of time pottering around and doing kind of nice, kind of gay couple stuff. Aww. So it's really sweet. And... He saved me from a really, really horrendous experience in my life. And I'd lost a lot of faith, really, after that experience. I was with an abusive relationship for about 6 years, and the guy very nearly destroyed me. And so after I finally got away from him, which was just an absolute trial... I just thought that was it. I'm never going to be able to meet anyone again, never be able to function in a relationship again. And then, completely by accident, I met him on a train. And, really? And that was that, yeah. Yeah.
What was the sort of scenario?
I'd gone out for a night out in Leeds with my best friend, Rach, and she'd sort of taken me out to cheer me up, but, like, Rach, sorry if you're listening, Rach, it gets terrible, terrible. ladies' problems. And so we were out having a rock out. It's, God, we were in bloody Funny Girls in Leeds for some inexplicable reason. But we were getting really pissed on, you know, cheap wine and having a right laugh. And then all of a sudden she decided she wanted to go home. It's like, oh, right, OK. So we had to run across Leeds, get the last train. I'm on my way to Halifax. And anyway, this guy gets off the train in Halifax in front of me. And I thought, God, he's got a nice arse. So I kind of purposely walked past him and looked back, and he was really cute as well. And anyway, off I went to my flat. Anyways, I'm walking home. I became really aware, like, there's somebody's following me. I'm thinking, following me? He's following me? That's a bit weird. Thinking, oh, I'm going to just dart down this side alley and see if he follows me down there, because if he comes down this way, he's definitely following me. So anyway, he did, and he followed me all the way back to my flat. And so I went, oh, we've come all this way, do you want to come in? So he did. So we sat up till about 5 o'clock in the morning, drinking vodka and ice and chatting, and that was it.
Right. So totally at random. Totally random. You're going out with a stalker then?
Yeah, I'm going out with my very first fan. No, it was brilliant. We clicked like mad, and, you know, he's the sweetest, kindest, nicest man you could ever meet. And, you know, I adore him completely.
What would his take on this story be?
Probably very similar. Yeah.
He clocked you in the train and thought, I'm having a slice of that.
Well, I think he said that he thought I was eyeing up his friend. So, yeah.
But no, we always do that, don't we? We always think if somebody's looking our way, it must be our friend.
Yeah, but his friend's a girl. I'm like going, Christ, do I kind of look that straight? You know, obviously well, yeah. I do, you know. Yeah.
Never seen anybody as straight.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
You are, absolutely. In the vernacular of Scruff and Grindr, straight looking.
Am I straight looking?
You're straight looking, yeah. Because we hold a torch up to people who are straight looking, don't we?
Well, I better remedy that very quickly. I don't think I'm straight looking when I've got my gear on, though, do you think? I just think this moustache looks straight. Makes me look straight. Kind of Tom Selleck.
I can't keep this sort of thing up. I abhor anybody who says that they're straight looking. But how can you not, or straight acting?
Straight acting. That's a weird old thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's that about?
I know. That doesn't mean we've got a gay acting thing. Do we have acting classes for being straight and gay now?
Well, maybe we've missed out. Maybe we just didn't get the newsletter. I didn't.
Let's write one.
Yeah, shall we? Put it in the parish mag next time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Have you read our parish mag?
I have read your parish mag. It's absolutely brilliant. Worth a buy. Definitely worth a buy.
If you're interested, on our website, www.themanchestersisters.org, and you can download a free copy. And we don't ask you for your email or anything like that.
And can I say as well, it's beautifully artworked.
So somebody shout for Vicky here. Vicky? This is the salubrious clientele that we have when we're talking in a back room of a bar here.
I'm really not used to this kind of treatment. Do you not know I'm a star? You know, where's my swan with the necklace? And the lilies. You promised me all of this stuff.
I'll have to get down on my knees and beg for forgiveness then.
Well, I'll maybe give you forgiveness if you beg hard enough.
Trouble is, with this floor, I'm going to be picking up so much crap and dust all over my habits. Who's going to clean that?
Have you not got a kneeling mat with you?
You just think of everything, don't you? No, all stacked back at the convent. Right, where were we?
We were talking about my home life, weren't we?
Yeah.
So that's home life. And then work-wise, I work for myself. I started a business in, a year ago. I do exhibition design, so for museums and things like that. And I've always worked for people. And then about 2 years ago, I got diagnosed with HIV, and it was a really advanced case. I was actually really quite ill, and I didn't have a clue. Because I've always been, you know, played safe and everything else. It was a real shock. And ended up having to go on, you know, pretty hardcore treatment, and I was just the right mess. And it was, you know, the shock and everything else, and not being very well. So I just thought, do you know what? I'm just going to give up work. You know, my partner supported me in that. And I thought, I'm just going to start my own business, because then I can be flexible and I can do my own thing. And it's, you know, and it's fine. So I did that. So I've had a successful year so far, my first year. So I've just got to start hunting for some more work now. But obviously now I'm, you know, king of the UK. It does mean I'll probably get, you know, thousands of offers coming in, or, you know, over the next couple of weeks, and I'll just be, you know, inundated with, you know, money and offers and opportunities. So obviously I'll just give that up now and just kind of, you know.
I'm so glad we're in a place that's got double doors for the exit to be able to get your head out of, dear.
Yeah, for people listening, actually, you can't really see the wry look on my face. I'm actually not being serious there. You know, Jesus.
Yeah. Irony. It's all right. He's been ironic. Right, okay.
Yeah, so that actually is a really interesting. That's a really been a really big challenge for me. So I left London on a real high on, you know, Sunday last week, after kind of winning this competition and getting tons of attention and, you know, feeling like, you know, top of the world. And, you know, then I'm walking the dog on Monday morning and I don't answer the phone and, like, you know, do my receipts, do my spreadsheet, and thinking, oh God, I don't want to do this. I want to go out and play again. Yeah.
How do you deal with, you obviously, you're very open about your HIV status. How do you cope with people who don't appreciate the fact that people can say that and people live with it and it's not a problem? There's a lot of stigma around there.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons why I wanted to be open about it, and I took the decision to be open about it recently, because actually perpetuating it by not being open really isn't a good thing to do. I mean, to be fair, the reason I'd not really come out and said anything before is because I was still really coming to terms with it myself. But I've drawn a lot of strength from the leather community, and they've really helped me with it. And, you know, I've been around other people who have it and dealing with it. And it's become, it's cliche, I know, but it's become a new normal for me now. And actually, it's not the big, scary, hideous thing I thought it was when I first found out, even though I was really ill at the time. And actually, I think there's a lot to be said for educating people and being open and honest about it. Because if you talk about it, you're open and honest about it, it kind of dissolves some of the demons that were around it. So, you know, so the things you were saying earlier, it comes from ignorance and it comes from lack of education. And I think we've got a duty, you know, across the board to talk about it. And I'm fine to talk about it, and I'm fine to answer anybody's questions, you know, that they might have. It doesn't make me any less of a person, you know, it doesn't define me as an individual, and it's completely manageable and it's fine. You know, I'm really lucky to live in a country where we've got an NHS that takes such good care of us. You know, I dread to think what would happen if I was in a country with a private healthcare system. It must be an absolute nightmare. No healthcare system. I know how ill I was, and it was horrendous, and I can only imagine the horror that somebody in a country that hasn't got access to that kind of medical care must experience. You know,
you're absolutely right. We're very lucky, you know, to be looked after. You know, in the UK in particular, it's not just sort of like medical side, like you touched on there. Though there's a huge problem around stigma, and people still today in 2016 reacting so negatively about people who are positive.
Yeah.
How do you care? I mean, you said education, but when you've got things like Grindr and you've got Scruff and you've got all these other apps that are going around, you can't enter into much of a discussion with somebody who's just called you dirty, for instance, which, you know, I've had friends who that has happened to.
Yeah, you see, I mean, that's just appalling, you know, but I've luckily never experienced that. I suppose because I kind of don't talk about it all the time continually, you know, I've not really had much of an opportunity for anybody to say anything, and generally people have just been really supportive and really helpful, you know, friendly about it. But being mean about it and being, you know, that is just, I can't understand that, you know. It's such a strange, weird mindset to have, you know. It's ignorance, you know, that's where it is. It just comes from ignorance. I just don't get it.
What world we live in at times, eh?
Oh, I know, eh?
Ooh. People just say they need a good smacking.
I think they really do, actually. I think that's one thing. When I'm king of the world, I think I'll implement a special kind of highly trained sisters order of highly trained slappers and smackers to go out and do my bidding. You know,
I quite like that. Yeah. I quite like being a slapper. Are you a slapper or a smacker?
Smacker, yeah. I think you could. Yeah, there's ones for the arse, ones for the face, I think. You know, it's like my kind of elite squad of
minions.
Minions. I couldn't think of the word then. I was, you know,
sisterly minions. You're listening to Tunewag with Sister Bang Bang, and my lovely guest today is Joe King, who's Mr. Leather UK 2016.
You're listening to Sister Bang Bang's Tunewag.
Of course, yes, yeah, it's absolutely right. It is Tunewag with Sister Bang Bang here. And Joe King, who's my gorgeous guest today, Mr. Leather UK 2016, I suppose in a way we're quite lucky to be able to grab hold of you for you know, a Tunewag.
Absolutely.
What sort of other events have you got that you're going to go? Are you going to open supermarkets and things like that?
Well, I'll be opening some envelopes, some crisp packets, supermarkets. Obviously, I'll be blessing babies. You know, all the kind of other things that come along with the title. But I've got a couple of projects I'd really like to get underway. So I'll be doing the events around the country. You know, I'll be doing the prides and as many as I can. And obviously there's IML. I'd like to try and get to the European leather competition as well. I'd like to get to some of the European events too. The problem is that I've got to fund all the travel myself. There's travel funds within my leather clubs. But obviously they're a limited fund, so there's only so much I can actually physically do. And there's tons of events I'd love to go to, you know, and I've been invited all over the place, which is completely brilliant, but it's just so frustrating that I can't do it all. So I'm planning in some of the key events. Obviously the Manchester events will be a priority, and the London events will be a priority for me as well. So there's the sort of calendar of events that happen over the year, but then there's all the other stuff. You know, we talked earlier about me using the time to do something positive and make some positive changes, and you know, and a couple of the things I want to do is to look at new ways to bring younger members into our community. So, you know, finding ways to remove some of the barriers that people face getting into the community, which is the economic barriers typically, because buying leather is not cheap. So I'm looking at ways to improve that. So I've created this idea called the Leather Library, where members of the group donate pieces of leather and gear that they no longer wear because they've grown out of them, or they just don't wear them anymore, whatever. And then new members of the group who haven't got a leather wardrobe can borrow stuff from that. So it's a way in, and it allows them to try stuff out and see what fits them, see what works for them, without having to spend hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pounds on kitting the wardrobe out. So that's one little project I've got going on.
How does somebody get involved in this? If listening now and going, oh, I've got some leather, I wouldn't mind joining in with this.
Well, first of all, join Manchester Leather Men. We're all a really good, friendly bunch of people. Or if you're in London, there's the MSC London. And again, they're a really friendly bunch of people. So join either one of our two clubs. And actually, if you're in the South West as well, there's Leather West, which is the other club down south. So join any one of our clubs. You know, you can find us online, find us on Facebook. If you look for me on Facebook, you'll see links to their pages too. And hopefully they'll be implementing similar schemes as the year goes on. I've not spoken to them about it yet, but hopefully they will go for it. But yeah, I mean, currently it's just been running Manchester, the Manchester Leathermen. So join, be part of us, meet us, you know, and we can sort of help you out, hopefully.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for joining us on Tunewag today. It has been a joy. There's been like highs and lows in this conversation, hasn't there?
There's been a lot of lows, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a soup song. But last thing, just before you do go, though, last thing I always ask is, what do you want on your gravestone?
I don't actually want a gravestone. I just want to be disposed of quietly when I'm gone.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I just think it's I just don't really see a point for having a gravestone.
What about your ashes then? Where do you want them floating off to?
What I'd like with my ashes is I'd like them shoving in a rocket and firing off and just have one nice big kind of blue flash and job's done.
All right.
Yeah.
And there it was. There was Joe gone.
I'd just like to be just back as part of the cosmos, just kind of floating around forever, you know. The thing is like my energy's here right now, and once it's gone, it's gone. You know, so buy it while you can. Get it while you can.
And we'll do that now. So thanks for joining us. We'll turn this off and get on with it, shall we?
Yeah, yeah. Come on then. Get on your knees.
All right. And so to the epilogue. It's May the 4th when this particular episode goes out, and it just happens to be my birthday. What? Oh,
Right, yes, thank you very much. Birthdays are the time of the year where the sun returns to the same place in the celestial sky as the day you were born. Apparently, it was a pagan-type festival to celebrate one's day of birth, especially as them lot believed it was the time of the year that you would feel at your lowest and thus needed a bit of cheering up, a bit of jollity. I doubt the pagans would have had Nutella-covered birthday cakes back then, but I spent the day cheering myself up. And I realised that not once throughout my brief years on this planet have I ever had a surprise birthday party, gathering, or get-together. I'm not sure why, as I love surprises. So I set my best friend a task, to organise a surprise meal for me. Yes, I know what you're thinking, that's hardly a surprise. But he had to surprise me with the venue. Well, at least it's a start. Sowing a seed for future years, one would hope. And this time, I'm also hoping you might surprise me. No, I don't want fancy cars and bunches of flowers, big yachts or second homes. No, no. This time, I would be so honoured if you, yes, you, would find the time to donate something to one of our chosen charities. Honestly, it will help someone in need. A pound, a dollar, a euro, it doesn't matter how little. I'd like you to pop on over now to our website and make a secure donation. www.themanchestersisters.org. And the donation button's just on the right-hand side. It would make more than just me happy. Lots of love. Bang, bang.
Coming up on the next edition of Chinwag.
You've heard me chit-chat with Sister Jackie Ma from our Manchester convent. Well, now it's your chance to hear Systematic Debauchery, another marvellous Manchester sister, only for you on Chinwag.